Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show. What's up guys, Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with our co-host, Coach Nick. Coach Nick, how are we doing today?
I'm really good, Coach Steve. How are you?
I'm really well, Nick. It is a great day. It's a great start to the week, and it is start of week one of our August challenge, Nick. We've made it to our very first 6-week challenge.
Week one, day one, 6-week challenge. Here we go.
How good. Now, Nick, we've had an exciting weekend over the weekend, and many of our challengers have had an exciting weekend over the weekend, preparing themselves through that prep weekend for the challenge that started just this week. And we'd like to welcome everyone. If this is your first time finding the Challenge Weekly Show, this is episode number 33, Nick, 33 of the Challenge Weekly Show. And you can go and listen to another 32 different episodes of the Challenge Weekly Show, where Coach Nick and I talk about everything related to fitness, health, the challenge, and everything in between. So lots of content for you to listen to while you're doing things like your meal prep, doing things like getting your steps up, or even, you know, commuting to work, or heck, you can even listen to us while you're lifting weights. I listen to podcasts when I lift weights sometimes. Nick, do you listen to podcasts when you lift weights?
Yeah, definitely. So if you are listening right now, yeah, come on, you can do it.
No, so good. Well, look, Nick, we've been living on the forum this weekend. We're getting lots of questions come through on the forum, and gosh, I love helping people, start their fitness journey. We've had all the types of questions from really, beginner-based questions from people who, never really entered that fitness space before, to some really advanced and complex questions where you and I had to write a little bit of an essay to respond back to some individuals. So if you're on the challenge and you have any questions related to the challenge itself or even broader fitness questions, please reach out to us on the forum. Nick and I basically live there, and we'll answer any of your questions there.
Yeah, and thanks for trusting us with your journey. We appreciate it, because we've got a lot that we'd love to share with you, and we'd love to hear your stories as well. So we're always around.
Absolutely. And look, we totally understand that this starting this fitness journey can be quite overwhelming. I know it is. And there's lots to take in, especially when we're having conversations with some really advanced folks about, nutrition timing, or about, deloads and different types of training concepts and such. I understand how it could be so overwhelming when you're just thrown in the deep end of the challenge and looking at all these concepts, and maybe you're still stuck on, what is a calorie, right? And we understand that. We get that. So I will invite you to spend a little bit of time on the challenge website. Go head on over to the resources section and then go to the news section. So resources, news, and there's a couple of hundred different articles there where you can probably spend a little bit of time to learn a few different things and a few different concepts. Then also spend a little bit of time to look at what other people are posting on the forum as well, because if someone else is having a question or a problem, you may be learning something from that, and that might not be a problem that you're facing right now, but it could be something that you're facing in the future. So make sure you go spend a little bit of time just keeping up with the conversation on the forum as well.
Yeah, definitely, because this is an online based challenge, there's a lot of information online to have a look at, so really worth your time just delving into the resources. Just do it one at a time, read what you can, watch what you can, and each time you do it, you'll probably come out with just a little bit more knowledge, and it's only going to help you.
That's right, absolutely. Now, talking about our templates, so our training templates and our nutrition templates, we've had everyone jump onto the website and then get access to those templates. And all I would say is that I'm going to invite you to spend some time just to watch some of the templates that are in the videos that are embedded into the template. I really try to give you a full explanation about how it all works and where to put what and where, and even a few tips and tricks about how you can make the program work for you. And it's all about making a program that works for your environment, because I understand that everyone has different food preferences, different food beliefs and understanding, and choices that they have to make. And even down to logistics, like you might not want to eat 3 times a day, you want to eat 5 times a day, or you want to eat 1 time a day. So it's all about making a program that fits for you, which is why it's called a nutrition template or a training template, rather than just the plan itself. So we're making the program work for us, and we want it to be like a self-empowering process where you go, yeah, well, I'm in control of this, rather than being told what to do. He goes, yeah, I can do this because I'm making the decision to choose to have these sorts of foods. So I want you to feel empowered to use that spreadsheet and that template as much as you can, so that you can make it work for you on a very individual level. And that's the big part of this 6-week challenge, is it's very individual to you. Your program is so unique to you, based on the information that you put on the start of the template, that you can't really compare it to somebody else's.
That's right. And look, every single person is individual, and different things work for different people. So that's what we have to factor in when we're talking to you as well. So we're very open to hearing what works for you, and then we can discuss that with you as well.
Now, look, Nick, moving on with our Challenge Weekly show here, we are introducing our non-scale victories, our NSVs. Now, if you've never heard of the NSV before, it's a non-scale victory where often in the challenge, we are focusing so much on our body composition changes, what's happening on the scales, you know, are we losing body weight, are we heading in the right direction, that we sometimes miss all the other victories that might be happening in our lives, such as, you know, feeling fitter, feeling stronger, being able to, you know, do that chin up, or to be able to play with your kids, or you know, be able to fit in those size 10 jeans or whatever your goal is. So here is my invitation to you, our dear listeners, that if you are experiencing a non-scale victory, well, firstly, you got to find this non-scale victory, have your eyes open for the non-scale victory. If you are experiencing a non-scale victory, let us know that you are, so you can post it on our Facebook support group and use the hashtag NSV so we can see it. You can write about it in your journal on the challenge website. Nick and I love reading through different journals, so make sure you post about it in your journals. And heck, you can even post it on Instagram as well. And if you tag either Max's challenge or Maxine's challenge, Nick and I will be able to see it as well. So let us know what your non-scale victories are. We love to see them.
Yeah, absolutely. Every week we like to have a look, and we will mention you. So look out.
Look out. It's going to be good. Now, on our Facebook support group, Nick, we have some running hashtags, some theme, daily themes, okay, where we invite everybody on our Facebook support group to post on that daily theme. And I just like to highlight them just here, because we're still running our daily themes. And what we are going to introduce is, when the challenge is on, we are going to be drawing a name out of the hat in our weekly live question and answers to that Facebook group. And that winner, when we draw that name out of the hat, when the challenge is running, we will send them out a very small supplement prize packs, maybe a shaker bottle, some bars, and even just maybe a little handwritten note from us, which would be really cool. So if you'd like to enter the draw to win this small prize, all you need to do is create a post using one of these hashtags. So on a Monday, we are calling it hashtag Motivation Monday. So, Nick, you'll be posting some motivational content. That could be a quote, maybe an image, maybe, you know, you could do a little selfie video, something motivating. I think anything motivating to keep us motivated on Monday would be suitable on a Monday, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. People will often, get out their favorite quote, or they'll talk about something that an obstacle that they've overcome. So everybody loves Motivation Monday. A good way to start the week.
Absolutely. On the Tuesday, we have Technique, my favorite, Technique Tuesday, hashtag Technique Tuesday, where I'm inviting you to film yourself film yourself doing an exercise, and then post that video onto our Facebook group. We do have some people that just like to post the video. That's cool. If you use the hashtag Technique Tuesday, that's fine as well. Or you can even ask for some advice. So you can put in the hashtag Technique Tuesday and you can ask for some advice. I'll be able to see it, and then I can give you some feedback on your squat, your deadlift, your bicep curl, your hip thrust, your calf raises, whatever it is. I'll be able to give you some help, of course, if you would like that help as well.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to get some live feedback about what's going on with your technique, because we always want to improve our technique.
Now, on Wednesday, we have What's on Your Plate Wednesday, where we are inviting you to show us what's on your plate for that day. So that's a great one for individuals to post their fancy recipes or meals that they're creating. Often people are eating much more fancily, if that's a word, fancier than I am. I choose to have very simple meals, but it's great to see what others are having and what's on their plate on that Wednesday.
Definitely. And you can sometimes get some ideas if you're a bit stuck as to how to put the food together, because people have some good ideas. But often it's just very colourful. It's lots of veggies and other things like that. And you'll realise that you can make that kind of food look really great and appealing.
Absolutely. On the Thursday, we have Throwback Thursday. So many individuals will post on a Thursday about their transformation journey, maybe their before and afters. But it's all about, you know, taking yourself back in time to, you know, see where you were. And sometimes that was a win. Maybe, you know, 10 years ago you did a bodybuilding comp, or 20 years ago you ran a marathon, or maybe it is just from last week where you climbed a mountain or something like that. So Throwback Thursday, use that hashtag, and it's always good fun to see where people have come. On the Friday, we have our favorite Flex Friday, where we invite you to post a photo of yourself flexing. Often it is the good old bicep, the Arnold salute, where we do a bicep flex, but that could be flexing any muscle. Now, I do think that's a little bit of a cheeky one, where some people might look at that being very vain. You know, I'm flexing, posting a photo, but the act of flexing a muscle is actually really helpful for training purposes, getting a good mind-muscle connection, increasing muscle tone in that area. Because gosh, if you don't know how to flex your bicep, I wonder if you're actually training your bicep when you are in a gym. So that's it's an interesting one to play around with. Flex Friday, think of it more of a training side of things rather than just a vain flex.
That's right. I mean, since I've been doing bodybuilding and learned about, you know, quad flexes and things, I know that that's definitely helped me to feel my quads when I'm training as well. So I agree. Flex Friday. FF. We love Flex Friday.
On Saturday, we have the all-important self-care Saturday, Nick. Now, on the Saturday, we are inviting you to go and look after yourself. So that could be spending some time reading a book, going for a walk. That could be going get your nails done, you know, being COVID safe, of course. Or even just getting a massage or anything like that. So how are you looking after yourself on this Saturday?
How do you recover, you know, recover from your week?
Finally, on the Sunday, we have Meal Prep Sunday, where we are inviting you to do your meal prep on a Sunday and then posting a photo about it. So that could be, you know, all of your containers lined up nicely and you got all your meals for the week. Or that could be you just cooking up some, you know, servings of protein or some servings of rice or something. But show us what meal prep you're doing on the Sunday.
Fantastic. We love our hashtag. So hopefully really soon we'll start to see this new breed, you guys, the new challenges, having a go. You know, don't be afraid to do it, because once you do one, I think that you become hooked. And every time you do one, you get an entry into the competition as well. So every time in the week, you know, if you do all of them, you get 7 entries. So that's good.
Yeah, 7 chances to win. You can post 7 different times. Well, look, Nick, let's move on to our next segment called the Coach's Corner. Now, for the Coach's Corner, Coach Nick and I will offer our advice for the week. Nick, would you like to kick us off this week?
I would like to. This is a very common question that we have had for the last couple of challenges, just involving a few of the foods that, or drinks that pop up on the nutrition template, because sometimes when we're learning about calories or when we see an amount of something, we go, wait a minute, just say, for example, we have almond milk unsweetened and it says 860 grams and or mils, or, you know, same thing. And you go, oh, well, I can't drink that. That's nearly a litre. Now, I mean, really, if you had 2 coffees, you probably have 250 mils in each coffee. You don't think about it, but you sort of do. So that's already 500 grams. But don't worry about it like that. Just think, if you were to then have a look at what you could swap it for, you might find that normal regular milk, you could only have maybe, now this isn't exact because I haven't looked exactly, but it could be maybe 120 mils, which is just enough for a little coffee. So something like an almond milk unsweetened is a very, very high volume food, which means that you can have a lot of it before it adds up to the calories of, say, something else that's a little bit more dense. And so within bodybuilding, volume foods are a food that we use as a tool to make sure that we stay full when we're on lower calories. So it's really good to learn about those sorts of food. Veggies are other volume foods. So, for example, somebody said, I have a bag of spinach, so 150 grams. Obviously, spinach is not a very heavy food. And somebody else actually answered it really well. They said, well, I swapped it for an orange and I got about half an orange. So that's where you can suddenly see that the caloric values of food, just because it's a fruit or a vegetable, doesn't mean that it's all got the same calorie values. So this is taking it to the extreme. But if you were to eat too much broccoli, you could actually put on weight. You know, it sounds weird. And the reason that you probably wouldn't eat too much broccoli is because it's a volume food. It's quite filling. But technically, you can actually put on weight by over-consuming even simple things like spinach. You just simply probably wouldn't be able to, because your tummy would explode with all the fiber before you got to that point. But, volume foods are just those foods that you can actually have a little more of. You can be really smart with them. They can fill you up, and they're not as calorie dense. So look out for them. They're actually your friends. So when you see something that's got a lot of volume on there, you can either swap it or you can go, well, wait a minute, I might use that throughout the day. Or have it all at once. Have a whole bag of spinach. Just melt it down. Do you know this, a whole bag of spinach, when you melt it down, it goes to a tiny circle anyway. So if you could sit there, I've done this, look, you know, I mean, obviously when you're in extreme physique sports, you end up doing things like this. You might have even seen me at work picking out of a spinach bag, eating those leaves, because that's what you sometimes have to do when you want to get to that next percentage of lean. But just say you're not, you just want to kind of tighten up your diet a little bit, have half an orange instead.
I like it. That's a really good one. And I think that, you know, you nailed it with, let's say, like fruits and vegetables as an example. So you could either choose to have like the 150 grams of spinach, and that would be maybe, you know, 25 calories, or you could have 25 calories of, let's say, banana as an example, which is 25 grams. So you get to choose now. You can either have literally a bite of a banana or an entire bag of spinach. And for some, you might be like, geez, that bag of spinach is huge. But then you go, okay, well, are you just going to have like a bite of the banana? Then you start to wonder and you go, well, I've never really only eaten a bite of banana. I've only ever eaten the entire banana, which might be 200 grams. So then now you're having, you know, 200 calories of banana. There's nothing wrong with banana. It's just really highly energy dense, which then leads us to that question of, wow, your portion sizes have been so high for so long. It's no wonder that we're in a body composition where we're not happy with right now. So it's about scaling it back and then understanding about how much energy is in food, really.
Exactly. So it's the understanding, because that's the main thing that we want you to have. We want you, it's like we're financial advisors for food. We want you to understand it. It's up to you what you do with your food bank account. Like, we're not going to spend it for you. We're not necessarily going to tell you where to put that, but we want to give you the tools to understand about your food budget when you have certain goals.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And I think that many challenges right now are getting a very quick lesson in food composition and energy density, many of whom are, you know, struggling with, let's say, 20 grams of rice as an example. And it's like, or 20 grams of bread as another example. And, you know, you see some posts on like the forum and such being like, oh, well, what's the point of even having bread if I'm only allowed 20 grams? And then you go, well, okay, you can have 20 grams of bread, or in a similar vein, you could have, you know, almost a liter of almond milk. So it's like, well, you can either have like a half a bite of bread or you're going to have a liter of almond milk. Both are very, very different foods, but they're all in a similar category of energy. So it really comes down to what you choose to have in your budget of calories for the day.
Correct. And also, you need to, once you get to know that layer, you will then start to get to know your body's hunger signals, and you even get to the level where you start to learn what foods to have at what time. Like if you're a person who oats fill you up in the morning and you don't want to eat for a long time after, or if you're like me, you can eat a whole bunch of oats and then you're hungry again straight after. So for me, it's sort of like, oh gosh, I might choose something that's a little bit higher in a different macro, maybe like higher in fats for brekkie, stuff like that, things that will make me last a little bit longer. That's just my own body. So that then you start to, once you learn this, it's like there's nothing you can't do. You're in complete control, which is absolutely awesome. But we'll keep talking to you guys about this throughout the whole challenge. I love it. You know, when I found out about all of this and started to learn it all, that's when everything fell into place for me. So there's no need to know it all straight away. And you might have little bits and pieces that you might go, well, if I know that, should I know this? No. You know, we're all learning all the time. So that's also fine.
I'd like to talk a little bit about that question of how do I lose fat and build muscle at the same time?
Oh, yes.
So I do think that that's almost everybody's goal. I want to lose fat, build muscle. I want to have the six pack, look like a bodybuilder, be lean and be able to run a marathon at the same time. So I think we all kind of want everything at the same time.
Absolutely.
And I do think that we do need to come down to earth a little bit and understand that, you know, it's very difficult to do both at the same time or all at the same time. And an analogy for this is, let's say you went back to school, you went back to high school and you've got your math class, you've got your English class, you've got your science class, you've got, you know, PE as well. You've got all these different classes and it can be really difficult to try to study for all of these classes at the exact same time. All in the same night, you know. Let's say it's a Wednesday night. You've been at school all day. You're gonna go home and study in the evening. It's like, oh geez, like, you know, you can't study everything at the same time. You need to kind of focus on one at a time. Let's say another example. Let's say you wanted to be the best language speaker, the best linguistic person around, and you wanted to learn French, Japanese, German, and then Arabic all at the same time. Okay, that's four different languages and, you know, each one could be conflicting against the other. If you try to remember hello in German and then hello in Japanese and then you start mixing them up, you start talking like Japan man, like, you know, like you can mix those up. So it's better to focus on just one goal at a time. And this is actually one reason why we chose to change the challenge to like a 6-week challenge, was that 6 weeks is a nice window to see some change if our goal is fat loss and to see some change if our goal is weight gain or muscle gain. It's great to focus on that for 6 weeks and then we could transition into the next cycle of 6 weeks. So if you're really unsure about what to do, I'm just gonna suggest that you pick one, do it for 6 weeks and then pick another one. We can't do a lot of negative effects over 6 weeks. 6 weeks isn't a long time to, you know, lose lots of muscle or to gain lots of fat or anything really extreme or dangerous or anything like that. 6 weeks, short and sharp, in and out. And that's a great time to, you know, trial something new, trial something different, and then change to the next one.
That's right. And if you're loving it, then you can keep going with it as well. That's the other thing.
Absolutely, yeah. And look, in saying that, there are a few caveats where there are some individuals that might be able to gain some muscle and lose fat at the same time. They're rare. So like the first one would be someone who's an absolute beginner. So someone who's never done exercise in their life. So them just getting off of the couch, that's going to build muscle. So that person will see some fat loss and muscle gain at the same time. So a super beginner person will see that that change. And, you know, even within the industry, we call that like newbie gains, right? Or noob gains, where it's a normal phenomenon where someone who's brand new will gain muscle very quickly. The next one would be someone who is coming back after some time off. So let's say, you know, you and I, Nick, we take 10 years off from exercise and then we come back into the gym. We will see very rapid muscle gain, you know, a little bit from like satellite cells in our muscle. So the muscle will come back very quickly, which is why when you listen to some previous top 10 finalists, many of those have some sort of sporting background. So they've taken a long time to learn fitness. You know, certain lifestyle things got in the way. They had kids, changed jobs, you know, started a full-time career, moved state, all the other bits and pieces, maybe had an injury or something like that. Then they decided to do something, get back on the challenge, and they were able to gain muscle really quickly and lose fat at the same time. So that's another individual. And then the third type of individual are those who choose to use supplements that you inject into yourself. Those individuals can grow muscle and lose fat at the same time. But for everybody else, we have to choose one or the other, where the goal of building muscle and losing fat are actually juxtaposed goals, meaning they're complete opposites. Where to build muscle, we need like a surplus of energy, right? Let's say you had a construction site and you were trying to build the house bigger, you need supplies. You need more supplies so you can build the house bigger. Whereas if you wanted to lose weight, you needed it to be in an energy deficit, meaning that you had less supplies. So your body needs to use those supplies from somewhere. So an example, again, maybe using that construction site, there's no supplies. So you start pulling down the other rooms that you can build next level up or something. So you're breaking things down so you can continue doing something. So, they're very different things where you can't build and decrease at the exact same time because they're just complete opposite. So it's better to choose just one, focusing on that for 6 weeks, than the other. Now, on our nutrition template, we do have the option of both, which would put someone in like maintenance, meaning that it's equal. Now, the challenge with both is that you need to work really, really, really hard to see some sort of change, right? Because we're not really having, we don't have enough of a surplus to see significant muscle growth, and we're not in any sort of energy deficit to see any fat loss. So we're kind of just treading water. It can be helpful for some, and it can be great to kind of just chill out in this like maintenance mode, but you know, we're just not really moving anywhere. So to see some long-term change, it's better to kind of move through like a 6 week of a building phase and then 6 weeks of a weight loss phase. And again, within like the fitness culture, we call it, you know, like bulking and cutting, and people kind of transition between the two, where they might do, you know, 6 or 12 weeks of bulking and then 6 or 12 weeks of cutting, and they just cycle between the two. And often what some people would do is, you know, let's say over the winter months, they will go through a bulking phase because they get to wear more clothes, then over the summertime, they go through that like cutting phase because they can shed some more skin. So that's like some, you know, cultural things we see within the fitness and gym space. But for long-term success in developing our physique, we would need to choose one and then choose the other, and that's okay, because again, there's no negative things that can happen over that 6 week period.
And if you're choosing building muscle for the first time, something to really focus on that becomes very fun, your strength numbers, because they tend to go up. And if you can focus on that while you're building muscle, it gives you something really cool and positive to focus on in the gym, and you feel like a badass, and it's really a really nice way to deal with other things that might be going on. Like you might be feeling, you know, a little bit fluffier than usual, we say, or something like that. And when your numbers are going up, that's such a good feeling that it even feels better than being super lean, to be honest. Like you just walk into the gym, you go, I can lift that. I can pull my own body weight up. I can do this. I can do that. That's great.
Yeah. And look, I think I can attest to that a little bit. Like, say what you would about body composition. Let's say myself, I'm, you know, one of the coaches in the challenge. And if you look at some of my lifting videos on Instagram, I'm not the leanest guy going around. I'm probably cruising about like 15 or more percent body fat. You know, when I'm wearing my weightlifting belt, you know, you could see my little muffin top. Like I'm not the leanest guy going around. No. And I'm okay with that, right? I'm a little bit fluffy.
That's your goal at the moment.
And at the moment, you're right, that's my goal. My goal is to build muscle. My goal is to get strong. And I'm sure that I, you know, have, you know, some strength there. I know people that are a lot stronger than I am, but that's something I'm working towards. And sure, if you look at some older videos of me demonstrating exercise on the challenge, so if you look at some of the exercise videos on the training templates, you might see a much leaner version of myself. And then now I'm much bigger, as in I wouldn't call myself fat, but I'm much thicker and much more muscle on me now. And that's taken a long time to build that. And I'm okay with that. And I'm sure you're listening to this and you might be okay with that. I'm sure there's probably some people judging me right now. I don't give a shit. But that's okay. I'm okay with going through a bulking phase. And for many people, we do need to be okay with, you know, having a little bit more energy, being a little bit fluffier, and then we can actually get some changes in our physique. Because I know that when I finish my bulking phase and go through my kind of fat loss phase, that my physique would have actually changed over those years, rather than just treading water and not doing much, you know, for that time.
Yeah, perfect. And I mean, really, you're having to strap extra weights onto your barbell with resistance bands, so something's working for you.
I thought that was so perilous. I'm gonna have
you
to
do it, because that's what you were up to. You know, when you got no more weights left in lockdown, that's what you got to do.
You've got it. Yeah, when you don't have enough space on the barbell, that you need to add more things.
Yeah, you guys will find out later on down the track about our little lifting competitions that we have just for fun, but we'll talk about that in another podcast. It'll be fun later on.
I think I'll have to get some like duct tape or something. I think those resistance bands are a little bit perilous.
We'll have to look into something for you.
All right, look, Nick, let's move on to some questions for the week, some FAQs. And this first question here is about changing our information as the challenge progresses. And the question is, do I need to update my spreadsheet to get lower calories as I go? So Nick, would you like to answer this one?
Well, the thing is, 6 weeks, just say that you have selected that you want fat loss for 6 weeks. I know in other previous times we have done incremental decreases, but the thing is, we haven't started with your exact information. So when we start with your exact information and you say you want to lose fat over that amount of time, in my opinion, that should be pretty good for you for 6 weeks. What do you think? I think that that should be okay. But, I mean, there is the possibility, just say something drastic happens, you can go in there and you can update your numbers, can't you?
You can, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, either way, but within 6 weeks, if you're choosing a goal and you say, I am moderately active, I want to lose body fat, it's given you enough of a deficit that your body won't have time to adapt to that within that amount of time. So previously at, say, the 4 week mark when we would change the calories, that's also because we were ballparking your kind of goals, even not to say that we weren't doing it correctly, but now that we've got extra information, hopefully we won't have to change the calories too much within that amount of time. If you adapt quite quickly, if you are losing a heck of a lot of weight, which is, I'm sure for lots of people, like the dream, then we might revisit it. You know, you might actually have to have a bit of a calorie increase to stop that. I don't know how really you could put your calories lower than if you've already chosen that deficit. You probably just have to really increase your activity a little bit more. I wouldn't go playing around with it too much. I think that when you choose it, once you choose it, commit to it and see what happens to you within the 6 weeks. That's why it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the main takeaway is that there's a very low chance of adaption over that 6 week period. The reason why we had to phase the calorie decrease in the 12 week challenge is that if we stayed at the exact same calories for 12 weeks, there is that little bit of adaption that occurs. But yeah, because of 6 weeks, we don't see that, which is why I would suggest that you just input your information once and then don't change your information. After the 6 weeks, that's when we can readjust our numbers so that we can recalculate our calories. Now, if you put into perspective, let's say our target is to lose 0.5 to 1% of our body weight per week. If you are a 100 kilo male over 6 weeks, you could lose, let's say, 6 kilos, 1% each week. That 6 kilos isn't going to play a massive role in your energy prescription for the week. So as you're losing weight, you don't need to continuously update your body weight changes. You just need to input it once over that 6 weeks. And then at the end of the 6 weeks, you could then redo another template and then follow that for another 6 weeks. So that's what I would suggest for individuals.
The only thing that would be is if you're a few days into it and you're like, oh, hang on, I've calculated this wrong for some reason, there's always the chance to go and recalculate it. But other than that, I'd leave it.
Yeah. So there is a few hidden cells that actually come open depending on the time. Okay. Here's a little fun secret.
Oh my God. This is like a video game.
Yeah. So that little countdown timer on the top of your nutrition template, so it says how many days left in the challenge. As that slowly ticks down day to day, certain things happen onto your spreadsheet. That's all I'll say.
Wow, that's really exciting. Now, I want to know as well. No, I reckon that sounds really good. You've done a really good job with these spreadsheets. So I've got my hat on and I take my hat off to you.
So if you're really wondering what happens, once we get into week three, so halfway through the challenge, you have an option to further decrease your calories. So a certain tick box will appear and it asks you a question. Are you losing weight? Yes or no. And if you are not losing weight, you can tick that box and it will further reduce your calories by about another 10%.
Yeah. And don't take the PISS out of it and choose to lose weight if you're already losing weight, because that's just not going to be good for you. So if everything is going well at that time, you stay with it. Just if nothing's happening.
Next question here is one that we've been getting a lot, which is all about inputting the information into your spreadsheet and then some of the numbers being a little bit strange. So some of the prescription, the actual food prescriptions, some of those numbers being a little bit odd. And the first one is the serving of energy, and some individuals getting a zero for the serving of energy. Now, one problem that we've been facing is that some individuals aren't inputting the information in the start here correctly, which is then calculating their calories for the day as being 500 calories. Okay. So then what happens is on the nutrition template reads that you've only inputted, like, you know, two spots on the start here tab. it then calculates that you need 500 calories, and then calculates that you need some sort of proteins, some sort of fruits and vegetables, and then energies at zero because you have no other space for calories. So if your plan is showing a zero on the nutrition template, there's a high chance that you may have inputted some information incorrectly in the start here tab. One in particular was the date of birth, which I've actually gone and changed to just inputting your age. So all you need to do is just input your current age. So if you were to download a new version of the template, it won't have date of birth, it'll just have age, and you can just put in your age as of today. It doesn't play a massive role. So if you're turning, 33 tomorrow, just put your age in of today and then just let it go. You don't need to update your age or anything like that.
No, it's all good.
The next one, the next number that we face some challenges with is around protein. And we're getting lots of questions, about why is my protein so low? So Nick, would you like to answer this one?
Sure. So you get a certain protein allowance a day. Now, you might be used to thinking of protein as just, your lean meat sources. But once you've got this allowance in a day, it actually spreads around to other sources that might not be primarily made out of protein. Let's just say rice is a good example, but that has protein in it. So to fit your macros for the entire day, your protein macronutrients, it's going to spread around the whole template. So it's going to take some of the protein that you might think is just for your chicken, and it's going to put it into your rice allowance. So you might then be left with, if you're trying to have three big meat meals, you might be left with not much actual meat for each meal. So you might have, I've heard being thrown around quite a bit, 25 grams of chicken. And that's not the 25 grams of protein that might be in 125 grams of chicken. That's an actual 25 grams of chicken. So we probably need a lot less protein than what you've actually been having. And this is just for body composition. This is not for anything else, if you like to eat high protein. But at what threshold, Steve, would you say that protein becomes a little bit redundant? It's sort of over that, you don't want to go sort of more than that 2 and a bit times body weight, really. It starts to give you a little bit of a tummy upset. I've been reading about big bodybuilders that might eat three grams per kilo, but you don't even know, as you've said, like what those people are necessarily on as well. So that's a big, broad reason as to why your protein might be low. But also the other sort of thing is, let's define low by what standard?
Yeah, I think that's an important one too. I do find many individuals who are being prescribed low protein are individuals who are quite small, and we do need to appreciate that. If you are 60 kilos, you require much less protein than, let's say, myself, who is 100 kilos. Now, our recommendation is to aim for about 2 grams per kilo of body weight. On the template, actually a little bit sophisticated, the way that I've gone and prescribed your protein allowance is I've gone and predicted your lean body mass. So what it does is it calculates your weight that you input, then from the body images that you select, it then predicts how much lean body mass you have. And that was mainly to help someone who may be, let's say, 80 kilos and 10% body fat, let's say a guy, and then another guy who might come and join us who is 140 kilos and, 35% body fat. Both of those individuals will have very different protein prescriptions if it was based just off body weight. So what we've gone and done is predicted your lean body mass, so how much muscle mass you have, then prescribed 3 grams per kilo of lean body mass. Okay, so a little bit more of a sophisticated prescription. So that means that if you are a 60 kilo individual who has a low lean body mass, maybe like you're about 30% body fat, so you've got 40 kilos of lean body mass, it's only predicting that you have or you require 120 grams of protein, which is actually about that 2 grams per kilo of body weight. That 120 grams of protein, if you're having a protein shake after you train, there's 25, 30 grams of protein. If you have a nighttime protein, that's 25, 30 grams of protein. Gosh, you're only left with 50 grams of protein for the rest of the day. Then if you have really high protein foods like avocado, whole grain rice, broccoli, legumes and such. If you have certain protein snacks, like, you know, let's say a Maxine Burn bar, they're really high in protein. So what's left is a small amount of protein for the other serves. Now, you said, Nick, that it really does depend on, you know, how useful it is. Like, sure, we could have really high protein intakes, closer to 3-4 grams per kilo of body weight. You might get some gastric distress, like you said, but we could probably be better off by just lowering the protein intake slightly and then putting those calories more towards, let's say, a carbohydrate. So that can provide us with energy to fuel our training sessions. So this is how we've kind of calculated the nutrition plan, is to prescribe you with the target of protein. We don't need any more because it's just, you know, not really useful. We've given you the right amount of protein to promote muscle growth, but then we're trying to direct a lot of the calories towards carbohydrate to fuel your training session. So this is why some of those numbers might be a little bit different to what you've been eating before.
Yeah, I love it. I'm looking at it now, and like, I'm looking at my numbers and all of that, and it's pretty much exactly to the meal plan that I get prescribed by a professional coach to do my shows, and it's fantastic. So I won't say all my grams, but I'm lucky, I suppose, that I get to have lots of protein still. But see, if you want to have a particular amount of protein one day, you just can also uncheck the supplements for a day if you're going to eat a certain thing, and it gives you a little bit more in your foods as well. You know, you don't have to be stuck to having everything the same every day. If you're like, oh, I'm going to cook a big chicken meal or something like that, just fiddle around with it a little bit, and you'll see that they change a little bit if you take some stuff out. Yeah, and you've always got a bit in your snack as well. Your snack has a certain amount of protein in it that you can also borrow from and put into your main meal as well. So you're not stuck, are you?
No. And there is ways, you know, this template's yours. You can change it as much as or as little as you want. And even in the serving sizes area, so let's say it's prescribing 15 grams of chicken. If you type over that and put a zero, the program will read that and it will increase the protein amounts on all the other foods. Okay, so let's say in the snack, if you're choosing not to have a protein in the snack, you can put the zero there and then it will allocate all that protein to the rest of the day. So it'll bump up all those numbers as well. So there's lots of ways that you can manipulate the template to make it more suitable to your own eating patterns.
That's right. And somebody was asking before about putting a zero next to their milk because they won't have that at breakfast. And, you know, it can all be done. And yeah, here we go. Now my proteins, I'm just doing it live for us as we do it. All my protein's gone up, and now I've got 165 grams of egg, chicken, whole raw, which means an egg.
Chicken eggs, yes.
For anyone who's playing at home, it's eggs. They're just chicken eggs, whole and raw.
Yes, but you don't need to eat them raw. You can cook them if you
want. No, it's just in terms of the weight of the eggs. So, yes. You know, you might want to crack them. It's all good. It's all G. An egg usually weighs with its shell like anywhere between 50 and 70 grams. Why do I know this? I guess because you eat a lot of eggs.
Excellent, Nick. Excellent.
You've seen me with my eggs at work. Many, many eggs. And then I don't eat them with you guys because I feel sorry for you all.
Oh, that's just you coming out of your shell. It's okay.
I get it. Oh, my God, stop being so funny.
Don't worry. It's all white. It's okay.
You're getting ready for the dad jokes.
Oh, look, I'm only yoking, Nick. It's okay.
Oh, my God.
I know. My brain's a little bit scrambled in lockdown.
Oh, God, you're a good example.
Yeah, but I'm sure I'll harden up as we get along, right?
No, you're going to get stopped up. And you're going to get very very fried when you're a dad.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Stop. I win.
All right, look, the next question here is more of a concern about some of the food numbers, again, being low, but this is around the sources of energy. So something like, you know, really low quantities of rice or really low quantities of things like oats or generally kind of more grainy products. And I think we kind of touched on this a little bit with your Coach's Corner, Nick, where different foods will have different energy densities. So if you're choosing and you really want to have, let's say, Nutri-Grain for breakfast, we know that that's really high in energy. And if we were to compare that to another source, let's say like oats, you may find that you're able to get more oats than you would like a Nutri-Grain, okay? So we do need to understand that different foods will have different energy densities. And remember that the program is so specific to you. And again, I'm using the example of someone who is, let's say, like a 50 kilo woman who's, you know, really lean, really small, really short. Their energy prescription might be really low. Like their calories for the day might be, you know, 1200 calories. And if we were having three meals a day, you know, each meal is like 300 calories. That can be a really small meal. And we start to scratch our head and we go, well, we don't really have a lot of options here about what we want to have. If you want to continue losing weight, like these are the things that we need to do so that we can be having such a low calorie intake. So I think part of it is that understanding about the energy density of foods. And then another part is that understanding of how much energy we need specifically for you as an individual. And that might suck for some of us. But then the steps that we can take where we can look at increasing our calorie prescription for the day. And we could do that by slowly, you know, building muscle. We can do that by slowly increasing our steps. So let's say the energy prescription for you is 1200 calories, but you have chosen low in the energy expenditure. You step maybe 4,000 steps a day. Okay. You could choose to increase your step count to 10,000 steps a day. And then that could increase your calorie prescription to 1500 calories. Oh gosh, you have another 300 calories for the day. Man, you know, 20 grams of rice has now been bumped up to 50 grams of rice. Okay, that's a bit nicer for a meal because now I'm being a little bit more physically active. So there are things that we can do to slowly increase our, you know, calorie allowance. But part of it is a little bit of an acceptance being like, okay, at the moment, this is my portion. How am I going to make this work into a meal so that I can be satisfied with my food plan?
That's right. And if you don't lie to the template, it's not going to lie to you. So, you know, if you are relatively inactive, it's going to tell you what you need to eat to drop body fat if that's what you want. And sometimes that's annoying to hear.
It is. It is. Mm. Now, Nick, on the training side of things, in previous challenges, one of our most common questions was, why is your training program a full body program? So we were following full body programs, and that was met with some resistance from individuals who would say, oh, I've been training, you know, using a push-pull leg split or an upper-lower split or whatever the type of split for so many times or so many years. Why is this a full body program? And what we've gone and done is actually introduced different training splits for our advanced programs. And then now we've been getting lots of questions about which program should I follow, which advanced split should I follow? Nick, would you like to answer this one for us?
Definitely. So it will, what I've been answering in terms of advanced is sort of making people just have a think about, as an advanced trainee, what have they been doing already? So what's your current program structured like? Somebody who is advanced will be in the gym already and they may already be doing one of these splits. So they might already be doing a body part split where they might be training their quads, their chest, that sort of thing each day. And they may go, okay, so I already do that. So what I might do is I might change and try a push-pull, you know, that kind of a thing. So all it is a different way to approach your training to still get the same amount of volume in, just a different way to approach each thing. So for example, if you find that, you know, you get fried from training, say, quads and you can't move for the rest of the week, something like a push-pull leg might be something that you might do where you have a dedicated leg day, but other days you're doing other splits that will accommodate that. You know, it really depends. So I think the answer is have a look at each one. You know, it's very clearly laid out, and the main thing is to commit to whichever one you decide to do. So if you like to train a specific body part and you've always done that and you'd like to continue to do that, then keep doing it. Keep doing the body part split. You know, keep doing what you're doing. If it hasn't worked for you and you want to try something else, I love a good push-pull. That's one of my favorite ways to get a lot of stuff done. It's quite interesting. It's always a bit of fun. How about yourself? Which one do you like best?
Yeah, I tend to bias. Well, at the moment, I'm kind of following more of like the SBD program myself.
I was going to say that's you all.
Yeah. But at the moment, I guess a lot of mine are kind of like more of that upper lower split. So let's say if I'm training squats, I would then use some accessories to do some lower body exercise. If I'm training my bench press, I'm doing more upper body exercises. So I guess I'm following more of that upper lower type of a split than anything else.
Yeah. See, I dabble in a bit of everything, but I've been needing to build my back a little bit. I have been following that push pull also just to strengthen my bench, my push. I've been following that kind of a program, and that's worked really well as well. It's the main thing is that you stick to it for the full 6 weeks and look at the one that appeals to you the most. So if you look at one and you go, oh my God, I hate the idea of doing that, then close it up and go to one that you like the idea of. But as an advanced trainee, I suppose you've already dabbled at least in some of these concepts.
Yeah, we hope that, you know, these ideas of splits aren't new to you. If you were advanced, you might have, you know, trained at a push-pull legs or trained in an upper lower before, or maybe a body part split. You may have dabbled in those things before. I do think that there is value in first, like what you said, Nick, like, you know, what do you enjoy firstly? So if you've been training a body part split forever and you like that, okay, that's one path to take. But I do think that there's value in simply trying something new. If you've been training body part split, you know, you've got your chest day on Monday because that's International Chest Day, then you've got back on Tuesday, and then shoulders and arms on Wednesday, then quads on whatever it is, you may find benefit in just, you know, modifying it slightly to follow like a push-pull legs or an upper and lower split. I do think that new stimulus can provide some big changes in our body.
Yeah, I agree. But look, I do love the fact that we've got the quads and then we've got glutes and hammies as well, and they're far away from each other, so that's really good as well for like lots of women that are trying to build their legs. That's a really good way to see some good gains, because you will be able to recover in between and give that, you know, the best that you can, especially with some of those really big exercises. So I think that one looks pretty good as well, sort of the bookends of the week for women. I mean, I might be crazy because I know Di is the opposite to me, but I love training legs. So for me, any chance that I can do to train those body parts, you know, as many times as I can with actual optimal recovery as well is the best that I can hope for. And a lot of people ask me, how do I build my booty? How do I do this? How do I do that? Do you know what? The other thing is, it's not just about the glutes. It's about the hamstrings. It's about the calves. It's about getting that entire look. So this is a good way to actually facilitate getting that volume in and doing it and being able to recover as well. So really look at that. Just have a really good look at the way that the program's structured. Look at your timing. Am I still okay to smash out one of those sessions on a Friday? Does that suit me? You know, that kind of a thing. Look at how it all works for you, or go, well, would I have a day and then do another one on the Saturday or something like that? Depends on if your gym, you know, if you've got the time for that sort of thing. So just have a look at how you would structure it for optimal recovery as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, another question we're getting a little bit is, what do I do on the free day? Okay. Some of our programs have a free day, which is simply a day for you to do whatever you like. So some of our programs, like our specialty program, or our like Get Strong programs, or our SBD program, has a free day where it's a day for you to, again, just do whatever you like. So maybe you like to do some light cardio, maybe you want to do a HIIT session, maybe you want to do some classic, you know, ab work and core work, or maybe you just want to go in and get a bicep pump. It's a free day to do whatever you like. So it's pretty simple. It's not a super complicated thing. Literally whatever you like. And maybe you enjoy one of the workouts. So maybe you want to repeat, you know, workout two or workout one or something like that on that free day. Or maybe you just want to go for a hike. It's completely up to you. Enjoy that day. Take it as a little bit of a leisurely approach to exercise to make it fun.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, more isn't always more. You don't have to go just because I'm resting means something bad's going to happen. That's where muscles grow as well. So we've tried to structure it so you can get the optimal recovery. You'll probably hear us talking a lot about this, you know, just as we progress on. recovery is where it all happens. So you want to have the chance to actually give your body the chance to do that. So then you can hit those big numbers, because when you're on, you're on. Isn't that right? When you're on, you're expected to be absolutely on.
That's right, yeah. Now, final question here is, do I need supplements? Do I need supplements? And I think I'll answer this one here. The first thing that we need to understand with supplements is that, well, I mean, we could do a whole podcast on supplements, is that the first thing we need to understand is that, firstly, they are not like medical aids. Like, they're not going to solve all of our problems. They're not pharmaceutical grade, so they're not something that we get from a pharmacy. They are food products, and they're used to supplement our food diet. So we can't replace a poor diet with supplements. And I say this as someone who works for a supplement company. We can't rely on supplements to solve all of our problems. It does help put you know, the icing on our theoretical cake, okay? First thing. Second thing is that supplements make it really easy to achieve what we're trying to achieve. And the analogy I've used quite a few times, going back to that construction site, you know, we know that you can build a house with just, you know, a hammer and a saw, right? If you have enough experience and knowledge and willpower, you can build that house with just a hammer and a saw. However, it makes it much, much easier if you had some power tools, right? So if you had like a drill with you and, you know, an electric saw and a nail gun and all those things, it makes building that house so much easier, less effort, and less focus, a lot less education required. You could put that house together with some power tools rather than needing to study for long periods of time, have years of practice to be able to build it with just a hammer and a saw. So that's kind of what supplements do. So if you're a little bit curious or a little bit skeptical about supplements, consider them like power tools to make your body transformation easier. My advice about where to start with supplements is, firstly, start with a protein powder. A simple protein powder can help to increase our overall protein intakes, and then add it to within our food plans. So you can use that to introduce protein to meals like breakfast, which is often a low protein meal. So it's a great way to add a scoop of protein to your cereal or oats or something similar, or to have like a smoothie for breakfast. Great way to start the day with protein. Another one is to have that protein source after you train or around that training window. We like to have it peri-workout, meaning either before or after. So we want to have that source of protein around our workout as well. And that can promote things like muscle protein synthesis, the growth of muscle. Next big bang for the buck, Nick, is our creatine. I would recommend many people to get onto a source of creatine. And then finally, some sort of stimulant like a pre-workout, such as the Max's Beta Pump or the new Maxine pre-workout coming out soon.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That will be exciting.
That's going to be a good one. But look, Nick, let's wrap it up there for episode number 33 of the Challenge Weekly Show.
33 hours together.
33 hours together. If you've liked this episode, let us know. You can leave us a review, or you can share this on Instagram. Let us know that you've been watching it. We'll catch you next time for episode number 34.
Thanks, everybody. Talk soon.